KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Mask is there for parents, for family members, for schools, for rabbis, for referrals, for parents that are struggling with their family members in all areas of mental health and or addiction. Mask has a helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, Friday until an hour before Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, an hour after Shabbos, and all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Again, let me repeat our number. Maybe you want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, maybe for a neighbor, somebody you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number, 718-758-0400. And our website, you can listen to all previous shows and donate online to help a family member get into treatment that they may not be able to afford. So go on to maskparents.org. Tonight, I have with us a very dear friend and a colleague, someone that has been working with families for so many years. I'm talking about how many years is it? Louise Stanger. How many years is it already?
Oh, it's almost 40. So
almost
it's a long
40 years.
Time.
Yes, long time. And Louise also, she is an interventionist, and she offers families a chance to get their loved ones the help they need when they're struggling with addiction. And I would like to welcome you, Louise, tonight on our radio show, and thank you for helping those families on the journey of healing. Thank you for working with the families, all the families that you work with. And it was wonderful spending time with you at our Nefesh conference just a few weeks ago.
Well, I cannot thank Mask enough for the work that they are doing to help change and improve families' lives in New York and elsewhere. And it's really an honor to be with you today and to honor not only the work you're doing in mental health, substance abuse, and the difference you're making in parents' lives. So it's thanks to you and thanks to Mask that I am here today.
Thank you. And of course, Mask is my staff. It's not just me. We have staff, and they're waiting at the phones for you to call in and ask your questions, all my listeners, to any issues in reference to mental health. We offer support groups. We're in the yeshivas. We could bring speakers to your community. We could do fireside chats. We could bring speakers to your home. We can do naloxone trainings in your home. So why don't you pick up the phone, call Mask, and we can tell you how we can help your family, your neighbor, or people in your community. So let's get right to it. Louise, you know, Many clients and their family are very surprised to discover that addictions are actually a disease, very similar to medical conditions like heart disease and diabetes. And it's important for them to understand the definition so that they can help and give hope to their family members. And that's where you come in, Louise, because you as an interventionist can help get to the root of the problem. You do the history. You find out where families are stuck and how they can convince and help guide and push along the process in getting their families the help they may need. So let's start at the beginning. What is an interventionist?
Oh, okay. An interventionist, well, I happen to also be a social worker, a clinician, and a former professor. But someone who an interventionist is someone who can help a family really essentially go from fear to hope. Someone who is skilled in working with a family so as that they can help their loved one get the treatment that they need. I'm very grateful that you talked about addiction being a disease, and I'm glad that anybody of your listeners who likes to Google can look at the American Society of Addiction Medicine March 2011 definition, which really qualifies it as a disease. It really changes our brain chemistry. It changes how we relate emotionally, socially, and psychologically. But as someone who helps families create an atmosphere of love and compassion and helps them with treatment matching and helps their loved one get the treatment they need and also gives the family help so that they also can heal.
So, Louise, what are the benefits of an intervention and what is an intervention that is not?
Great question. It's two-part. An intervention is beneficial when almost everything fails. People call me when their hearts are breaking, when they've pleaded, begged, scolded, yelled, screamed, gone back, gone forth, talked to their friends, talked to their neighbors, but they haven't been successful in getting their loved one help. And so oftentimes it takes someone with a professional stance, a little bit of distance, to really gather and to invite someone and do a really good social history of the identified loved one so that they can do the really right treatment matching and also give voice to those people who at this point are angry, frustrated, mad, and just be at their wits' end. Oftentimes, when an intervention is not appropriate, it depends on where this person is. If if they're extremely high, if it's a dangerous situation, if there are arms, guns. One has to be really careful in how they structure them and who the teams are they bring in. There are times when, even during the day, when an intervention can be more successful than other times of the day. But that takes a very skilled clinician, interventionist like myself, to help sort through and really get a grasp of who the family is, their culture, and what will work for them.
You know, it's interesting that there are TV shows that show, interventions. And, we watched some of them over the years in different learning capacities where they're teaching different clinicians about different areas to focus on. And I find that they're always to the negative instead of giving hope. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I don't. You know that as a professor, I am in a textbook called Opposing Viewpoints, which says interventions aren't made for TV. They're still
right.
Dramatic, and
right.
They have you know, people are signing on to shoot up. It is something that ethically I think is unsound. There is some argument that it's really made more public what happens. But when you think of it, I think of an intervention as, and I use this in the textbook I have written, as an invitation to change. It is heart-centered. It is as much heart-centered, compassionate work as it is science, and it uses a variety of different modalities. People's hearts are hurting, and they're scared, and they want to try and help their loved one get the help they need. At the same time, they, too, have been wounded with this, with the disease, because it is what we call a family disease. It affects everyone. And so I see an intervention as a way of really effectuating change, a large-scale change in the entire family system, and allowing everybody to get an opportunity to get the help they need.
Right, and you assess the family. I know that you have a three-pointer for creating a safe space with your team in reference to families, confidentiality, invitation, and respect. Can you talk about those three pointers, please?
Well, yes. Well, first of all, any kind of work that I do is totally confidential. Your best friend could call me up, but you will never know that they have called me up. They'll be the ones that have to do it. This is a private affair. The other thing is that what is everyone I interview individually, so I can get a portrait of this person, because people are so much more than their disease. They're so much more than just the person that experiences it. They could be a son, they could be a daughter, a wife, a mother, a brother, a sister, a successful broker, a teacher. They're so much more than whatever their anxiety, their depression, their substance abuse is. And so I want to be able to honor that whole person, and so is the family. And so I think when you treat people with respect and dignity, I have personally never met anyone in my entire life that said, hey, when I grow up, I want to be an alcoholic addict. And I don't use those words. I say that people experience a substance use disorder because people are so much more than their disorder. It's just that their behaviors they do while they're under the influence can be so hurtful to themselves and others.
So talk about your team, because I know that, Louise, you have a great team working with you. It's not just yourself. So I think my listeners would really benefit from understanding the benefits of a team-based approach.
A long time ago when I started doing interventions, it was traditional that one did it alone, but really it's so much better to work with another talented professional who is also skilled in intervention, but you can work, because we know in a group setting there are a lot of different variables, and it's very egocentric for me to think that the identified loved one or the loved one that we're trying to get may just relate to me. He or she may relate better to my partner. At the same time, when we talk about going to treatment, there's always the issue of safe transport or safe escort to whatever type of center is done. And so my teammate will be the one that helps safe escort. But at the same time, when you've done a successful intervention, you suddenly have all these people that you've gathered together. And I stay back and process with them and actually work with them even after someone goes to treatment in a solution-focused coaching way. So there's many different variables, and it's a lot safer. It's more respectful. It allows people to relate in different ways, and it brings two successful skill sets to the issue.
Let's talk about transport. I don't always speak about it, and I think it's important that families know that when they're struggling with family members that are addicted to substance, and sometimes they cannot even imagine getting their loved ones admitted, there are people, there are ways of providing safe passage to the treatment centers. So I think it's important that we touch on that as well, please.
Okay, so when I work with team members, I mean, two of the people I work with are both, they're both in recovery, and they're also, they have been trained lawyers. But when you're going from, say, New York, and say you're actually finding a center that matches well, that's culturally relevant, that has the capability of dual diagnosis, albeit in Florida, albeit in California, albeit even in Texas, people have to transport, and that becomes a very crucial part of the actual intervention process. You really don't want families to transport because you're continually inviting someone to change, you're continually inviting someone in to into recovery at that point, and it takes a skilled person. That person also, at least the way I work, helps with having a consent form signed upon admission, because we follow a client or a loved one while they're in treatment and work with the treatment center, not only on just what's happening in that treatment center, but what's happening in aftercare. And at the same time, we also continue working. So the person who helps transport, they're pivotal. They may spend, if you're going from New York to Florida and New York to Pennsylvania, they're spending a considerable number of hours in their bonding. And they're building a relationship that's a relationship of health and wellness.
You know, I have parents calling all the time on our helpline, and the conversation usually starts off, I need my child to get help. And we go through the intake, and we make referrals, and we connect them to inpatient, outpatient, interventionist, etc. And when it comes to addiction especially, it is so important that family members seek their own healing, that they must learn about their loved one's addiction or issues to the extent of while their loved one is inpatient, they, the same amount of weeks that their loved one is inpatient, that is the amount of weeks that the family members, the parents should be, or spouses should be in treatment once a week, so that they learn what the spouse or child is learning on the inpatient. So we offer at MASC support groups for parents, for loved ones, where family members are learning about, so what are they learning now? I didn't speak to them this week. They're not letting them call. I didn't hear from my child. How do I know they're okay? My son is 26. They say they can't speak to me. So by all of these questions, those can be answered in the groups while their loved ones are getting help inpatient. I'd like you to talk about the importance family members and their own healing journey while you're going through the intervention period with families, please.
I absolutely love what MASC does. And when I work with families on an individual basis, I work with them in a solution-focused way. I obviously have a small practice, so I work in a concierge fashion. I'm talking to the team members at least once a week, although people can reach out to me at any time during the week, and helping them not only about everybody starts out with what is my loved one doing and what do I say to them, but really giving them coaching on how to communicate, giving them exercises that they can do, and helping them begin to heal, inviting them to take care of themselves physically, emotionally, consistent with their values, spiritually and religiously. And so I think that is so important, because what we've learned about families, and I know you know this, and addiction, is families unconsciously I mean, unconsciously, coalesce around the loved one, so the loved one becomes the troubled one. But right now, the troubled one is getting help, and every system needs to change, and people need to learn how to detach. And so not only is it what is someone doing in treatment, but what am I beginning to do to take care of myself? What am I able to do to grow and learn? And what do I need to learn about the disease? What do I need to learn about mental illness? What do I need to learn about anxiety, depression, addiction, shame, guilt, embarrassment, all of those things? And what are my strengths? And what can I build on as strengths in the healing process?
It's not only addiction, like you said, all mental health issues. So if somebody's child has schizophrenia, one must learn about schizophrenia, the illness, even while your child is being seen by a professional. The parents or the spouse should still be seeing a professional to guide them on what to do, and like we always say, what not to do. Because, like you said, families do get caught up in the drama and in the illness, and then we end up enabling sometimes the addict or the mental health struggles that one may have, and that creates a whole nother piece that needs to go now for healing. So the best recommendation that I can possibly give is that parents call the line, call MASC, our number, 718-758-0400, and there are many organizations today that are there to help. If you choose another organization, just pick up the phone, get the courage, pick up the phone, call anonymously, and talk about what's going on, and then we can guide you. You don't even have to give your name. Call anonymously, and whether it's MASC or another organization, they will also guide you and give you referrals. Nobody should go through any of these mental health issues alone. Today, there's so much available out there, including Thrive New York City. First Lady Shirlane McRae started Thrive New York City. People to get help in all mental health issues. I want to thank the First Lady and Mayor Bill de Blasio for all the work that they are doing in reducing stigma, and we are partnering with them and with all the agencies in working to reduce stigma. You know, it takes a lot of courage, Louise, for somebody to pick up the phone and spill their guts. And I know that we at MASC and all the organizations can't even keep up with the calls that are coming in, because so many families already have the courage. It's just so wonderful to see the change from 21 years ago when I started MASC to today. We just now hit our 50,000th client 2-3 weeks ago that have come to our programs, have reached out to MASC, who's gotten referrals, who's attended support groups, who've worked with us to get their family and loved ones help. And the best thing I could report to everyone is we get calls and letters all the time saying we're married, we have children, we're happy, we have family, we got healthy. Thank you, thank you. They send donations thanking us. So it gives our staff the chizuk to go on every day to listening to parents call. So to my listeners, if you know somebody that could benefit from having MASC's number or speaking to Louise, please feel free, call MASC. Give them our number. If it's not for you, give them our number. That is the biggest mitzvah you can do, is to offer somebody a phone number where they can possibly get the help that they may need. And no one today should go through anything on their own. There's no embarrassment. There's help out there. Let's help each other. If you save one, you save a world. So let's get the number out there again, 718-758-0400. So let me ask you, Louise, the famous big question that you always get. Is there a charge in general for all your services?
Yes, there is. There is. Okay. But I will tell you this. If I am not the right person, I know the right person, and I'm happy to connect you with it. We have a saying, courage is fear, that said it's prayers, and what by calling MASK or calling myself, you will be able to get the help you need. It's just having that courage to move forward and know there are professionals out there that are honest with integrity that can help. And there is always a solution.
Absolutely. So, Louise, what message would you like to leave my listeners with tonight?
I would like to leave a message with, I know how addiction oftentimes ravages homes along with mental health. I do believe that it's possible to go from fear to hope to health, that taking that first step and seeing your loved one as someone who is in need of help in the same way that you would see someone who had heart disease or diabetes or a broken leg is really important. And don't be afraid to ask for that help. You are not alone. You never will be alone. And there's wonderful organizations like MASK and others like that across the United States who are here to help, support, and to teach you. And I'm really honored to be part of your broadcast today.
Thank you, Louise Stanger. Anybody that wants to reach Louise, please call the MASK helpline, and we will get Louise to speak with you. Our number is 718-758-0400, and I know from experience of MASK and Nefesh, Louise Stanger is someone you can count on to help your family member on the journey to well-being. So pick up the phone, call MASK, we'll connect you to Louise, and we will get you to the beginning of getting your loved one the help they may need. Thank you, Louise, for being on tonight. Thank you. And I hope to have you on again soon. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a wonderful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you.
Hello, Catamount Secret Call Center.
Welcome to the Catamount Big Secret Ski Resort Call Center. Right now, we're averaging 20 calls an hour. It's a full-blown phenomenon.
Let me get this right. You think we're hiding a mountain? A big one, just to keep it uncrowded.
A big mountain, here in the Berkshires.
CatamountSki.com, the Berkshires' best-kept secret. Catamount is a family mountain right here in the Berkshires with a 1,000-foot vertical, 33 trails and terrain parks for all skill levels, short lift lines, extensive snowmaking, and expert grooming. See CatamountSki.com for more information.
Catamount is 2 hours north of Manhattan on the New York-Massachusetts border. 34 trails of snowmaking and 8 lifts, including a summit quad share, serve the mountain's 1,000-foot vertical drop. Midweek non-holiday specials include $38 lift tickets and $20 online lift tickets for Monday and Thursday visits. Catamount improvements include a renovated lodge and a new chairlift. Real mountain fun, real close to home. More at catamountski.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.